This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And at the bottom of the hour, I have a favorite author on. She's got a new book out, and it's called A Time to Swill, and that's Sherry Harris. And I want to thank Kensington Press so much for sending her to me. But right now, it would be unthinkable for me to keep my next guest waiting because, you know, he was here last year. It was so funny. He is the onion in my life. And I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Brad Parks. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Patsy with a Z. Great to talk with you again.
Okay.
And I see what you did with the "it would be unthinkable." That's very clever. You're operating at next level already.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe if I had a blooming onion, then I could really get into it. You know, I have to make an arrangement with you know, Outback Steakhouse, and every time you come on the program, they have to send me a blooming onion because I really like them. And, you know, nowadays, you know, I don't get there. Because there's no, you know, there was no dining in for so long, and then
right.
And nobody gets together like we used to. We used to have meetings.
You had to get your onions from the grocery store, or from reading my books and peeling back all the layers.
Exactly. That's the only way you're going to get a blooming onion. Anyway, well, you know, it is nice, you know, that you are associated in my mind with something so common. So I think of you often. And the new book is really, it is another one of your wonderful reveals. You know, sometimes books, the reveals are slow over a period of time, you know, but you reveal pretty fast. I mean, we have to really get into this blooming onion.
Yeah, this one was sudden, wasn't it? And I really, you know, one of the hardest things for this book for me has been waiting for you, Patsy, and other people like you to get to the reveal. Because, you know, I think of these things a long, like I was writing this book 2 years ago, right? I started writing this book, and then I have to wait. And so it was probably about a month and a half into the writing that the big twist came to me. And I was so excited. I was like, oh my goodness gracious, this is what's going to happen. And of course, I never know when I start writing. So it was wonderful to be revealed to me, too. But then I have to wait close to 2 years for it to finally get to you, Patsy. For your viewers or listeners who don't know, this is pub day for me.
I know. It's
first
pub day.
Unthinkable is out in the world, out on bookstore shelves, out of libraries, everything like that. So it's a very exciting day, and I'm hoping people everywhere are getting a chance to finally find out what that big reveal is.
Exactly. What is unthinkable? But we can't, the fun thing about your books is there's so much in them, but we can't in the beginning tell people because we want people to discover it for themselves. I tell people, read the book, read it. You will just enjoy it. Turn the pages and really turn the pages because you start. I love the opening, and I thought, oh, I like this. I knew something was coming. I knew it was coming. And you get such a kick out of these things. It, you know, I imagine when you're writing it, it's you know, always hard work to write a book. But there has to be a certain amount of, really, you must get a kick out of some of the things that you come out with.
Well, no, mostly it's sheer terror, Patsy, because I don't know which way these books are heading. And so, and I hope they're heading somewhere interesting, but I never know until I get there. So, but we should probably tell the listeners, so the premise of this book, it's a whopper, right?
Oh, it is.
Here's the deal. Basically, you have this ordinary stay-at-home.
Hello? We can't hear you. Hey, hold.
Sorry. Nate Lovejoy, the protagonist of this book, is faced with unthinkable choice, and that is either...
No, you're not going to say what it is. are you?
I shouldn't say what it is.
But don't you dare.
It's established fairly early on.
I didn't know it. Darn it.
We'll just leave it with, he has to make an unthinkable choice.
Well, that's the whole point of it, isn't it?
Yes. We can say that without ruining anything.
Yes, and I really do object to people reading these things in advance so you know what's going to... I mean, that was part of the joy. I knew the title, okay? And I knew the minute that we started reading about Nate, I liked him right away because he's a stay-at-home dad. He's taking care of his daughters. I like that. I thought, well, yeah, that's great. And then you introduce gradually, you know, the rest of the story. But that's the whole point of it. If I knew, I think I wouldn't have... I just think it's so much fun. People, readers, just... Give it a chance. Open the book and start reading and just have fun. And don't go through. Sometimes, you know, there's so much written about a book in advance of it that it takes away some of the suspense. I mean, there's suspense. This is action, suspense. I don't want to tell people. I want them to open that book.
Fair enough. We will be spoiler-free here on Joy on Paper.
Yeah, you can go spoil it on somebody else's program. I don't want my listeners.
You're good to your people, Patsy. You're good to them.
I am. I want to give them the same. Well, I got a kick out of it because I didn't accept from the moment it started, I did not expect what happened just at the back door. Let's go that far. I didn't expect that. And then after that, it was one thing after another that I didn't expect. And that's what's one of the fun things about it. We can talk in a general way that this is a, you know, a deeply thoughtful book that you blend in a lot of ideas here. You know, we're talking, of course, the sort of, it is, I guess, the cause and effect idea of what happens when one thing happens and another thing happens. And that's part of it. Well, we know with a bloomin' onion, we start, we get down, we keep going, enjoying every bite, and we get to the end. But there's a lot of things that you touch on here, a lot of subjects, philosophical and all of that kind of stuff. But you do it so beautifully, we don't even know. you're giving us a little philosophy.
I still have to write spoilers that make people think.
Just a minute, Brett. Somehow your phone is cutting out. Are you?
Okay. Very quickly. I need to maybe run to the top of the hill.
Okay, that's better.
Oh, okay. Then I'll stay right where I am, if that's better.
Okay, that's better. Good. Okay, so let's talk about this idea. Well, the philosophy behind it about one thing leads to another, that's for sure.
Right, right. Well, and it's really, I try to follow the characters, and I know that sounds hokey, but I think it's about characters. The characters. So the twist about two-thirds of the way through this book, and it can't get way too much.
Oh, Brad, this is so bad. We're really cutting out like every other word. Where are you? Are you in the middle of nowhere?
I'm in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. I guess a lot of people think that's in the middle of nowhere.
Yes. Okay. Let me try and get to a better place. Are you hearing me now?
Yeah, I'm hearing you better.
Okay. Sorry about that. So what I was saying, every other word, is for me, these books are really about knowing the characters and listening to the characters and then following the characters. You know, kind of where do they go? What would they do in any given situation? And that's certainly a lot of what drives this thriller forward is Nate Lovejoy, this kind of ordinary guy. So he's much like your listeners or much like people you bump into at the grocery store. He doesn't have any special skills or, you know, he can't break your jaw by looking at it, anything like that. And he's thrust into this unthinkable circumstance and you're asking, what's Nate going to do? And hopefully also you're asking, gosh, what would I do in that circumstance? And that's a lot of what drives this book forward.
Well, that is the fun part of it. What would I do? And of course, as you said, you've developed a wonderful character. Nate Lovejoy is just, it's sort of that Jimmy Stewart type of character that, you know, Hitchcock liked to use. An innocent guy who can what in the world is happening around him, and sucked into, you know, a mess. And then, of course, with a very interesting wife, his, Jenny Welker, a lawyer, a very, you know, hotshot lawyer type of woman. And I like that Nate stays at home and takes care of the kids. And so we have all that sort of modern look at a family. And right. You had
that comes from, you know, I always, Patsy, I try to make things as difficult as possible on my characters. And I thought, okay, what could be harder for Nate? Not only does he have to save the world, he has to do it with two toddlers in tow. I mean, can you make it any harder on someone?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the fun of the book, that he is this ordinary guy, and you have to worry about the kids, and you have to worry about Jenny. We definitely have to worry about Jenny, and I just enjoyed it so much, and I think one of the nice things, because we need sort of mentally, I think it's great right now if we have other things to think about. Or this sort of kind of mental, gives us a little agility, I think is the word, the right word for it. A little mental agility. We're reading this book and you pose problems and pose questions and give us ideas. And we, as we're reading along and wondering, what in the heck is Nate going to do? How is he ever going to get out of this mess? Because, you know, all he wants to do is make peanut butter jelly sandwiches, you know. And watch the girls eat. So all the time, of course, you're hoping that this is going to work out. That, you know, but that's the fun of the book, and that's what makes it suspenseful and intriguing and thoughtful.
Well, and Patsy, I need to take you with me on publicity tour because you've gotten it all right. I mean, there's nothing more I need to add than what you've already said.
Okay. Well, unfortunately. Is anybody going on publicity tours anymore? Now that they've done even, you know, last year you were here in September, so you've come out with this book really fast because you were here in September, and I said, you know, the pandemic is starting to get to me, and you were surprised.
Yeah.
you said, finally, and now we're so much later, it's almost August. And
and yet we can still say, Patsy, God, the pandemic is really starting to get to me.
Exactly. Well, it is.
But I hope this book is an escape for people. And I think that's often why we turn to fiction, right? Is whatever is going on in our life, whatever is going on in the world, here's 6, 7, 8 hours of you're not going to be in that world. You're going to be in a completely different world. And it's still a world with problems, but it's maybe a world with problems that get solved a little more quickly than the rest of the world's problems. And that, we hope, is very satisfying for people.
Well, that is the point of it, that it does take us away. And as I said, because sometimes you say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to read something and it's going to be completely mindless and I don't care. But there's this element of mindfulness in your books,
right,
that always gives us that little soupçon, you know, that little, we can dip our blooming onion in that, you know, sauce they give us. So that's it. It's a touch more of joy, actually, in your books.
Well, thank you, Patsy. That's really kind. And I hope, I mean, so when I read, what I really love is, okay, obviously the reading is an immersive experience, but then when I walk away from the book, so now I'm picking up my kids from their activities or I'm making dinner or whatever, the characters are still with me and the issues are still with me and I'm thinking of it like I'm kind of still in the world of the book a little bit. And I enjoy that as a reader, and I try to provide that as an author.
Well, you do, and you know, it's just whether you're doing a book about a physicist with major questions to pose, or in this case, Nate, who's got to figure out what in the world is going on and make decisions. You capture that feeling, I think, of all people, that we want to know sort of our own inner selves a little bit better. And
right,
you blend that into your books.
Well, hopefully the characters are real to the readers because they're real to me. And I know that sounds goofy, but when I close my eyes, I can see them. I can kind of hear their voices. And I really do talk to them, which I know now, Patsy, we get in way into the woo-woo stuff. But it's always amazing to me how there are times when I try to make characters serve my needs, right, as an author. Like, okay, character, you're going to do this now because it's right for the book. And if it's not something the character wants to do, if it's not germane to who they are, the scene doesn't work. And I know this sounds crazy, right? I mean, like, I'm the author. I should be able to make any scene work. But no, it doesn't work because I'm not being true to them. And unless I start listening to them, the scene won't work. But then when I finally give in and I say, okay, the character is the boss of this scene, I'm just going to do what they naturally want to do, then bang, snap your fingers, it works.
Well, that's one of the exciting things about being a writer, that you do have all of this somewhere in you. And the characters really do come out and take control of you. And it's fun. Isn't it fun?
Right. And, you know, and you also get characters like, okay, so I'm a crime fiction writer. I always fall in love with my bad guys. Right? So we haven't talked about Vanslo DeGange, who is kind of the antagonist in this novel. And he's a guy who's, he is a 95-year-old man who, I don't want to say too much, Cassie, because I don't want to ruin anything. But let's just say he is the leader of a shadowy secret society. And, you know, imagining him and his backstory, I wrote a bunch of stuff about him that doesn't even get into the book because I didn't want to bog it down too much with him. But he's had a fascinating life, right? And so I love spending time with Vanslo DeGange and getting to know him and then imagining, okay, now what would he do in this given circumstance? So, yeah, that's kind of where the layers come from. It comes from the characters and the situations I put them in.
And you put them in situations, oh boy, sometimes I was like, I'm biting my nails at certain points of it. And it is just a wonderful read. And this is what is so exciting about doing this program, that I get to read all these books in advance of everybody too. So I've had it for a while. So when I got it and I said, oh, wow, I can't wait until it's time that we can have the pub date. And now you have the pub date. What's happening with you and marketing? Are you going? I don't know. You know, there was going to be VoucherCon.
Right.
I don't know what anybody's doing now.
I don't know what I'm doing either, Cassie. So I didn't have any in-person events planned, except for one. I'm doing something in Virginia, a short trip, like literally 7 minutes from where I live. Like it's a bookstore in the same parking lot where I go grocery shopping. Right. So I figured, well, if we end up having to cancel that one, it's not like I'm eating a plane ticket or something like that. Right. But beyond that, everything is virtual. I'll be doing a Facebook Live tonight. If anybody wants to go to my Facebook page, it's facebook.com/Brad Parks Books. And I'll be talking about the book and whatnot. And I'm doing some other interviews and whatnot. But then, no, not a lot of any in-person stuff other than that one event. Now we're looking at VoucherCon, and I just, Patsy, every day I look in the paper and I see that big red spot all around New Orleans right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, I was looking forward to it, too. I thought, well, last year when we canceled that one, I thought, well, yeah, definitely I'll be at this one. And no way. I'm not traveling anywhere, you know, so... Yeah, it's sad, but people can go to your website, too, and then they can find out what other Zoom events, at least, you're on, right?
Yeah, for sure. www.bradparksbooks.com, and I will be happy to see them wherever they find it. Although, you're right, Patsy, like, I do miss the in-person contact.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I do miss just kind of being able to, you know, especially VoucherCon. For those of your listeners who don't know, that is the World Mystery Convention. I call it the Comic-Con of the mystery world. And, you know, because we go every year, I don't know about you, but, like, for me, it's like summer camp.
Oh,
right?
It is. It's just so wonderful.
You don't see these people all year, and then you see them, and it's, you know, like, it's hugs, and it's, you know, being able to sit with them. What have you read this year? What have you liked? What are you into right now? You know, and just catching up with what's going on in their lives, and...
I don't know.
You sound like an old folk. You can't do that over Zoom. Right?
Well, I mean, one of the things about the book, because as I said, it is a book about cause and effect and about what happens when one thing happens, you know, that whole butterfly thing. And I look back and, you know, knowing some history that I do and having worked a lot with F-105 pilots from the Vietnam War era, and they were, I don't know if you know about the F-105 pilots, they were sent on missions, daily missions, on the same route. And the missions were ridiculous. They were all shot down. I mean, so many of them were shot down because there was no decision ever to make, you know, to finish it. And right. The whole course of what's happened in Asia would be different if we had had a different, if somebody had made the right decision then, back then, because everything just sort of collapsed from that point on. And I just, it's hard. I think that's why I enjoyed the book. I was thinking of all the different times when opportunities have been missed, when something could have been done. And so that also had a level to do with how enjoyable I found the book, which is unthinkable.
Right. Aren't those things that our brains like to tease with, of what, you know, what if this had been done here? What if that had been done here? You know, what if somebody had shot Hitler in 1932? How much different would Europe be today? You know, what if,
What if we wouldn't have let Mao win the Vietnam War? Because in effect,
Ho Chi Minh. I mean, you know, like what if somebody had just the CIA in 1956 had made the decision, all right, we're just going to take out this Ho Chi Minh guy, right? You know, how much different would things be in Vietnam? And of course, you never know, but that's the beautiful thing about speculative fiction.
Exactly, we can play with it,
and you can think about it, and it is something to wrap your brain around.
And you can start by reading Unthinkable by Brad Parks. It's a great book. It's, as I said, you will enjoy it. It's suspense. It's a thriller. And it's thoughtful. So Unthinkable becomes very thinkable. And whenever you think of Brad Parks, and whenever you go to Outback Steakhouse, think of Brad Parks and buy one of his books. I hope people will start going back to the restaurant and... when they think of you, they will buy one of your books, because I mean you have so many, you know, Interference last time and Unthinkable, and they can find them all on your website. Just wonderful books, Brad. Thank you so much for being with me today, and you are always a joy.
Patsy, it's always a great pleasure to be on your show and to chat with you, and I wish you all good things and above all else good health.
Okay, thank you very much. The same to you, your family, and I hope next year maybe we'll be at BoucherCon, because I remember the one in Dallas. One of the things I was thinking about when I was thinking about the last one in Dallas, there were so many hugs. I was hugging everybody. The biggest one was Lawrence Block. I love that guy. And I wanted to hug him again this year, but you know, nobody's doing it now. So
right.
Anyway,
and that's a Hall of Fame hug right there for Lawrence Block.
Exactly. Well, you take care too. Again, thank you for being on Joy on Paper today. And the book,
all
everybody,
right,
is Unthinkable. It's unthinkable for you not to buy it. Get Brad's book, okay? Bye-bye now, Baron. Okay, good. We're going to play a book buzz, a very special book buzz in a few minutes. I just want to say one very special thing. Wow, you know, it is just amazing. We'll go ahead and play the book buzz and then the commercials, then I'll tell you about something exciting. Okay?
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Be My Ghost, a Haunted Haven mystery book number one by Kensington author Carol J. Perry. Newsflash! Be My Ghost has been named 15 of the best upcoming cozy mysteries for the second half of 2021. Wowzer! Okay, here's the buzz. Maureen and her golden retriever, Finn, have taken possession of a charming old inn, only to discover that it's already possessed by tenants whose lease on life already ran out. Maureen's career as a sportswear buyer hits a snag just before Halloween when the department store declares bankruptcy. Meanwhile, Finn's lost his way as a guide dog after flunking his test for being too friendly and easily distracted. Sadly, only one of them can earn unemployment. So Maureen's facing a winter of discontent in Boston when she realizes she can't afford her apartment. Salvation comes when she receives a mysterious inheritance, an inn in Haven, Florida, a quaint scenic town on the Gulf of Mexico, hidden away from the theme parks. Maureen believes it's a good place to make a fresh start with a new business venture. But she gets more than she's bargained for when she finds a dead body on her property and meets some of the inn's everlasting tenants in the form of ghosts who offer their otherworldly talents in order to help her solve the mystery. Be My Ghost, A Haunted Haven Mystery Book Number 1 by fabulous Kensington author Carol J. Perry. It releases August 31st, but it's available now for pre-order on Amazon. Can't wait? Hey, check out Carol J. Perry's Witch City Mystery Series. There's 11 books and counting. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's Radio-Joy on Paper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest. Whoa, this is fun. Sherry Harris, and it is A Time to Swill. Oh, what a nice name for a book. I am so happy to welcome Sherry back to Joy on Paper. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Patsy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, wow. You know, for years, whenever I went by a garage sale, I would think about you, but nobody's having garage sales anymore. It's sad.
It is. I miss them too.
Oh, it is terrible. As a matter of fact, a few months ago, somebody in my neighborhood decided, I guess they were moving or whatever, and they decided they were going to have a garage sale. And my goodness, they were closed down. They had pulled everything out, and they came along and said, no, we're not letting public displays of any, I don't know what. It's sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
My neighborhood has had a couple of community ones, you know, all on the same weekend. So I've gotten a little bit of fix with that.
Get your fix, because of course you are the mistress of garage sale mysteries. And now, of course, now you've started a new series.
I have.
And bartenders galore. And I think, you know, actually, If you could hang out somewhere to hang out to do research, of course. I mean, necessary research that is tax deductible. I mean, do you realize that you can now go around to bars and do your research and save all those receipts and, you know, just say, Uncle Sam, this was serious research, correct?
Oh, that's funny, Patsy. I really hadn't thought to do that.
But it's right. I mean, everybody has to do research. You know, a writer, it's an obligation.
It is. And a couple of years ago, before I wrote the first book, a friend of mine were in the Destin area, and we did go to a lot of beach bars just to get a feel for what would work for this series, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, the new series, of course, is Chloe Jackson, Sea Glass Saloon Mystery Series. And I think that because, you know, you have to include different types of drinks in all of these books, I think it's perfectly legitimate. And I dare the IRS to audit you. Because, you know, go everyone you go to, make sure that you get a receipt and have them put the name of the drink that you've ordered. So that the IRS agents can say, she's doing real deep research here. Yeah, it's going to work. I'm telling you, it's going to work. I'm telling you. And if you get audited, have, you know, invite me to the audit, and I will explain. I will explain that Sherry knows her drinks. So
I will bring you with me.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, we'll invite the auditor right.
Yeah, that's it. We'll take him to a beach bar to do the audit.
Exactly. Well, of course, this is another wonderful Kensington series, and it's set in Florida, of course, which we love. I'm here. I don't know, where are you at the moment?
I'm in Northern Virginia.
You're in Northern Virginia, but your heart is in Florida.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I was just talking to Carol J. Perry, who has also a new mystery series set here in Florida. The Haunted Haven Mystery Series, and she sends her love to you because she loves your books, and she was waiting as anxiously for the new release as I was.
She's amazing. She's such a wonderful person and author, so that's lovely of her. I'm not surprised.
Well, of course, we all love this book, and tell us about the setting and the idea for the saloon. I love it.
Okay. Actually, my editor at Kensington and I had been talking about doing a new series, and he came up with the idea of doing something at a beach bar and had mentioned Key West, but I'm not very familiar with Key West. I've only been there once, but I've been going to the Destin area, which is the panhandle of Florida, called the Emerald Coast, Lower Alabama, the Redneck Riviera. And my parents moved down there in 1990, and then my husband and I were stationed there in the early 2000s. So it seemed to me like the perfect place to set this mystery series, and my editor agreed. So that's how that came about.
Well, it is a perfect location. It's wonderful that that entire area gives you a lot to work with. There's so many exciting things just historically, you know, that you can pull out from that era. And so it's, well, isn't it wonderful to have a great editor?
It is.
Wow. Wow.
He's amazing.
Well, so tell us, you got the idea, and so tell us how you, because you do create a saloon for us, and we really start thinking that, you know, that place exists, and we're ready to go.
So there's a restaurant and bar in Miramar Beach, which is just to the east of Destin, and it's called the Whale's Tail. It has just lovely views. And the restaurant's up on top, and then you walk downstairs, and this little bar is on the bottom. It's basically just a cement slab, and a few decorations, and they can roll up a window up and down at night. And it seemed that my bar kind of evolved from that. I also went to one in Grayton Beach called the Red Bar, which is a very eclectic bar with all kinds of things hanging on the walls and ceilings. And so I kind of combined those two to make my sea glass saloon bar.
And let's talk about, well, you had to come out, you had to come out with a bartender. So let's talk about Chloe. Okay. Tell us how you created her.
Well, first of all, I wanted to make her very different than Sarah Winston from the Garage Sale Mysteries. And so Sarah, at the beginning of the series, is 38 and just divorced. So I made Chloe 28 and newly single, and she was a children's librarian in Chicago and promised a friend of hers, if anything happened to him when he went to Afghanistan with the National Guard, she'd go help his grandmother at this bar in Florida, even though she didn't know the grandmother, never been to the bar. And sadly, the worst happens, so she feels like she has to go fulfill this promise. She goes down to the small town of Emerald Cove, and instead of finding this little old lady that's in desperate need of help, she finds this strong, vibrant woman that really doesn't want her there. So she has to lie a bit to get to stay at the bar and work.
Yeah, Vivi is quite a character.
Thank you. I love Vivi, too. She's based partly on a friend of my mom's and also a friend of mine. So they were the inspiration for Vivi.
And so, of course, and it's nice always to have your character who is a librarian. So we get a lot of book stuff, which is fun. So you just plowed into this and had a lot of fun creating this series.
I did. It's so fun to just let your imagination go wild. And one of the things with A Time to Swill that I really love is a friend that lives down in that area gave me an article about a sailboat that had washed up to shore. And it's an abandoned boat, and they call them ghost boats, even though there's no paranormal activity involved. But it washed up in the shore near Miramar Beach, and then it washed back out, and a couple days later washed back in. And that story just fascinated me. And so I used that as the basis for the beginning of A Time to Swill.
And from what we find in that boat, it takes us on a really lovely, twisted and turning mystery, and, you know, with a lot of suspense.
Oh, thank you. One always hopes that you're doing that. And I've really been pleased with the response so far, because she does, you know, she gets on the boat thinking she hears a baby cry, but it actually turns out to be a cat. And then she discovers bones. And then once she's back on shore, after a harrowing leap off the boat because it's on fire, she finds out that this was a boat that had disappeared 12 years ago with four residents of Emerald Cove on it.
Ah.
And none of them had ever been seen since. So
it leads us down some interesting paths, and we get to know Chloe. Who, at what point when you're writing it, did you realize, gee, she's starting to take over my life a little bit here?
I think pretty much from the first time I started thinking about her, and sometimes I have a hard time coming up with names for characters. And I have this old quilt of my grandmother's that I think is from around the 30s. And she and her friends all did a block with their names on it, and then embroidered them and made it into a quilt. And one of the names on that was Chloe, and it just felt right. Even though it's a very old name, it's also gained a lot of popularity again, and so that's how I chose her name. And like I said, I didn't want her to be too much like Sarah, so I made her a runner, which is why she's out on the beach at the beginning of A Time to Swill. And I made her a children's librarian, just to add some differences to her character. And an actual children's librarian wrote me, because in Up From Beer to Eternity, the first book, there's a line that Chloe decides pretty quickly that trunks and toddlers weren't that different from each other. And this person wrote and let me know that librarians often said that.
So. That's good. I love that line. I thought it was terrific. And, well, what are we going to say about Vivi? Because where'd that name come from? And, boy, as I said, you based it on somebody, but what a character.
Yeah, you know, Vivi Slidell just kind of popped into my head. I always love that when that happens, that I don't know exactly where a name comes from, but it just fits the person so well. And I did want her to be this strong woman, and I didn't want her and Chloe to be friends right away, to create a little more tension in the book and make Chloe work for her place in that world.
And she does. So tell me, you know, what research did you, let's just say, have you frequented bars in the past?
I am not answering that question. I did, honestly, I did go to several beach bars just to get for a feel of them, and then to watch bartenders work and see how they interact with people. And, you know, I've talked to several bartenders about what it's like to work in a bar and what are the good things about it and what are the hard things about it. And so it's been really interesting. And I also, one thing that really surprised me was I've done research on the history of drinks. And I find it really interesting how drinks, you know, were developed or people came up with them and the long history of some of them. So that's been really fun, too.
And it's nice to, well, all of that, that is the type of stuff that gives depth to a book when you sort of can blend in some of this history. So we come out knowing a little bit more. And the nice thing about a bartender book is that, you know, we like going to bars, or, well, hopefully we will be doing that more. I actually was, I'm a connoisseur of pubs, because when I lived in England, our life centered around wherever we went. We found a bar. We found a pub, not a bar. We found a pub. And so we got to know we got to know all the cities in England based on the pub. We traveled. My husband and I, we had a white Cadillac. And we drove around England with this white Cadillac. And we would go, I'd love to go to small villages, because they never saw in person. At the time, you know, Dallas was still on television, and people had never actually seen or touched a white Cadillac.
Oh, wow.
And so we had a white Cadillac. And my husband, by the way, did wear a cowboy hat. We would drive around to all these villages in England, little villages. And, of course, the main thing in a village, because I owned a house, I bought a cottage in a 400-year-old cottage in a little village that had three pubs and a sweet shop and a butcher. And that was it. So I became a connoisseur of pubs. And now you, of course, can become a connoisseur of bars. I think it's terrific. It's a terrific choice, and you're gonna have lots of fun. And you can also, you can take that bartending course and become certified, which is nice. You know, that bartending course, I meant to do it. Actually, I was thinking of doing it just for fun a while back before all this pandemic-y thing. I just wanted to learn how to do all that mixology stuff and also just a way to, get out and do something interesting. I like to do things like, it's just... I don't know. It's just I always adding one new string to your, bow, one new, knowing one new thing. And so I've always done that. I've always added one new thing. And that was one of the things that, I learned how to make a horseshoe when I was in Texas. That's one of the things that I wanted to do. So now I think you should add that string. You can take a bartending course and and boy, oh boy, I think you're going to have a lot of fans, reading this new series.
Thank you. It's been interesting because a couple of times for different events, I've been asked to make a drink. And so last summer, my daughter and I came up with this lemonade, fresh lemon-based drink that was so refreshing. And then because of this book, I started looking into the histories of daiquiris and so made a classic daiquiri, which is, I have nothing against sweet, fruity daiquiris. I love them. But this is so different. It's just three ingredients, lime juice, rum, and simple syrup. And it's just the perfect balance of sweet and tart. So that's been one of my new favorite drinks for the summer.
Well, people, you can read all about it. And the name of the book is A Time to Swill by Sherry Harris. And it's a Chloe Jackson Sea Glass Saloon Mystery, number 2. And Sherry, of course, you have a website.
Yes, it's SherryHarrisAuthor.com.
Okay, and they can follow you on Facebook,
absolutely,
and Twitter, and
Instagram,
and all of that stuff, all that good stuff. And we want to give a special, special shout out to Larissa Ackerman.
Yes,
I love her. She's a couple of times she sends me all these wonderful books. Kensington is just fantastic. The new cover is great. And I just want to wish you so much luck with this series because I think you, as I said, I love your garage sale mysteries and I think of you often. And now, maybe whenever I think about you, I'll head for a bar.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. And remember, take those receipts, do some research, and okay.
Thanks so much for having me back, Patsy. It's always just such a joy to talk to you.
Well, it's a joy to have you on Joy on Paper. And the name of the book is A Time to Swill. It's noon. It must be... It's good. In this pandemic-y time, I can start drinking a little bit early. I think we all can. Anyway, again, Sherry Harris, fantastic author, Kensington author, a real winner of a book. Thank you for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now, Sherry.
Bye.
All right. Okay. Isn't that nice? She's so great. And, of course, I just wanted to say that we had some exciting news. Devon Miller, who does our book buzzes for children's book, has been awarded. He's going to be presented with the Sunshine Ambassador Award. It was supposed to happen last week, but one of the participants got COVID, so it's been delayed. But he's going to get the Sunshine Ambassador Award because he is such a wonderful young man. He does so much for the community, a great writer, a great kid. He's not a kid. He's a young man now, but to me, he's a kid, and I just am so very proud that he's part of Joy on Paper and that every month he comes out with a new book buzz for us, for kids, and we'll be getting one next. I'm sure he'll be sending it to me soon. We'll have a new one in August, and I just so proud of him and so proud that he's part of Joy on Paper, because his books, he's written 5 books, Mr. Tickety Tock Clock books, are so clever, and I admire him so much. As a kid, you know, he spent a lot of time in the hospital, and so now, as a young man, he writes his books. He gives part of the profits from the Mr. Tickety Clock book series. He gives to, to the Children's Hospital, because he's just got a big heart, and he's a wonderful young man. And I hope that you will get these books. It's a wonderful, wonderful series. There are 5 books in this Mr. Tickety Talk Clock series right now, and you can also order some. He has masks and he has some other things on his website, and it's Devon Miller. So check him out, and I will let people know when they're going to present the award. I'm sure I'm going to try to get down there to St. Petersburg City Center when they present it to him, and it will be, I'm sure, on television, so we'll get to see Devon on television. He is just, he deserves it. You know, this is what is important in life, giving, because Devon Miller gives back to the community, gives back to people, and I'm just so, really so proud of him. And I also want to, again, thank Kensington Press. Kensington Press, you know, sends me wonderful, wonderful, wonderful authors, and always when I've, sometimes I've had some cancellations and I've needed somebody, they always, you know, find somebody for me too for that. But of course, one of the first, well, the first guest in my, in the studio here at Tantalk Network was Carol J. Perry. And so we did the book buzz for her today because her book is coming out in August. And also another writer whose book is coming out in August and is Rita Moreau, who does our book buzzes. And I know she is going to do a book buzz for Sherry Harris, because that's what we like to do. We like to help authors find ways to promote their books. And both Carol J. Perry and Rita are really, they are just wonderful, and they've been so good to Joy on Paper. And I can't thank them enough. So it's just been a wonderful day that I've been able to sort of pay back a little bit having Sherry Harris on today. And go and order a daiquiri. Ask them to make a traditional daiquiri, and they are actually very good. In England, a daiquiri is the original daiquiri. They don't have all the sweet daiquiris. Well, they didn't in my day. It was the original daiquiri, which had a heck of a punch, I can tell you, that's for sure. Anyway, remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or if you're very, very lucky, wow, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry, a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So get busy, start writing, and you might be a guest here on Joy on Paper one day. Wouldn't that be nice? Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room, and he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him. And everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Be careful out there. Wow, wow. Who knows what's going on in this world? Read a good book. That's all I can say. Read a good book. Go to my website, radio-joyonpaper, and I've got a lot of books up there that you can read. Okay, bye-bye now.